Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 25, 2024, 1 John.
All right. Before we get started, there is a birthday tomorrow. You thought the big thing tomorrow was the Olympics. Nah. The big thing tomorrow is Debbie has her birthday tomorrow. Now, Debbie had a great, great dad who wound up believing in Jesus Christ as his Savior late in his life. And he had three children. They were all girls. And her dad had a green thumb like you can't believe. You went to his house, there were flowers everywhere. Flowers, flowers, flowers. And he was in charge of the Alumni Center, and they put him in charge of all the flowers at the Alumni Center at Washington State University. So when the daughters came along, he gave them nicknames. Debbie was Sweet Pea. Lori was Petunia. Susie was Rosebud. So Sweet Pea, Petunia, and Rosebud. Now, Sweet Pea is a flower. That's a pea pod. But you can't see. You see, here's the flower. Those are sweet peas. So the pea pod is holding sweet peas. And one thing I've noticed about my wife, and I've noticed about all the ladies in Upland Bible Church, you all get more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful. And the key is the inner beauty in the soul from the Word of God. You get more Bible doctrine in your heart, more Bible doctrine in your heart, and that great inner beauty comes through. And so here you ladies are getting more beautiful as you get older. Then I look at the guys in here, and we just get older. That's it. Older and older and older until we are just the best. When they do my birthday, just put up there a big fart. Old fart. So, happy birthday to my beautiful wife. And tomorrow we are going to do a humdinger tomorrow. And it's not McDonald's. You couldn't pay me to go to McDonald's. No. Chick-fil-A. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. You guys were waiting for me, huh? Okay, good job. 1 John chapter 5. This is a very, very powerful passage on the witnesses. Witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And in these last days, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the degeneracy and the apostasy of our nation, the client nation USA, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. As we witness the satanic attack on Israel and the Ukraine, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And therefore, Father, we know that this is all in His perfect hands, being carried out according to your perfect plan. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your Word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey has an article about what we all have been witnessing. It's entitled, Tranquil Lives in an Evil World. If U.S. presidential politics were just a spectator sport, this would be one of the greatest years ever. It features unexpected plot twists, loads of melodrama, intriguing personalities, deep mysteries, and even violence. But presidential politics is not a mere spectator sport. Patrick Mahomes' next touchdown pass will have little effect on the education of your children, or the safety of the street where you live, or the availability and cost of housing in your community, or the future of your job. But U.S. presidential elections, they impact all of that. They touch everything from the price of hamburgers to the fate of entire industries. Such elections alter the course of nations, and not just our own. They also alter the course of each of our lives. History often turns on small things, even a small movement of a man's head. Maybe you've seen photographer Doug Mills' Trump rally photo that includes the streaking blur of a bullet just after passing through the top of former president's ear. It was that close. You don't need a computer animation to see that if his head had been held in a slightly different position or at a slightly different angle, he would have been killed. Though President Trump was spared, the event was still deadly. You know about Corey Comparator, the 50-year-old former chief of the volunteer fire department of nearby Buffalo Township, who threw himself between the shooter and his family. His daughter, Allison, wrote on social media, "My dad was a man of God. He loved Jesus fiercely and also looked after our church and our members as family. He died a real life superhero. He shielded my body from the bullet that came at us. He loved his family. He truly loved us enough to take a bullet, a real bullet, for us." David Dutch, 57, and James Copenhaver, 54, are said to be recovering now after receiving critical injuries during the same shooting. These things are painfully real. Presidents appoint people to lead agencies like the Secret Service. Those choices matter, as do our choices on election day. And so we pray. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, "I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority." All who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The Apostle Paul wrote that during the reign of Nero, one of history's most notorious men. The point is to pray for all who govern us. In Paul's day, pray for Nero. Pray for all who govern us, good and bad. We pray for all who govern us, all who are in authority. Scripture then gives pragmatic reasons for such prayer, so that we may live tranquil and quiet lives in all godliness and dignity. What we call politics is neither a game nor a show. We pray for our leaders, whoever they may be. We pray for our leaders. But we do not pray for God's blessing on a leader's evil intentions or wrong ideas. We pray knowing that God can open blind eyes. He can grant enlightenment and a change of heart. He can help even bad leaders, and it seems like we got a lot of those today. He can help even bad leaders to make good decisions. Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, "The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord, and he, the Lord, turns it wherever he wishes." As we progress further into the last days, we will see things that are not at all tranquil. But at such times, more than ever, we should pray for our leaders. To do so blesses whole nations. It also blesses those we know and love, including our families. First John chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 4. Because everyone who has been born of God, regeneration, salvation through faith in Christ, overcomes the world. The world here is Satan's cosmic system. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, the cosmic system, namely our faith. And the initial victory is our faith in Jesus Christ. And then after that, our faith in the God-breathed scriptures. Verse 5. And who is the one who overcomes the world, the cosmic system? No one else but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, John is making this so dogmatic because the Gnostics, the false teachers in John's day, denied the deity of Jesus Christ. But that wasn't all. They denied the humanity of Christ. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. They denied the salvation work on the cross by Christ. They denied all of those things. And John, 1 John is a polemic against Corinthian Gnosticism. And who is the one who overcomes the cosmic system? No one else but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 6. This one is the one who came, the first advent, by water and by blood. Jesus Christ. Absolutely not by water alone, but by water and by blood. Verse 7. And the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies, who bears witness, the perfect witness. You know how you know it's the perfect witness? When he has a special title, the Spirit of Absolute Truth. Can't get any better a witness than that. The Spirit of Absolute Truth. Pneuma aletheia. And the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies. Because the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, keeps on being aletheia. Absolute truth. As the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit has the very same attributes as God the Father and God the Son. And therefore he is veracity, absolute truth. And that means he is the perfect witness. He is not a man that he should lie like the Gnostics. God the Holy Spirit has in fact a very special title. Pneuma aletheia, the Spirit of absolute truth. And that special title is given in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15 to 17, John 15, 26, John 16, verses 13 and 14. And therefore, the title, the Spirit of Truth, That title emphasizes the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. The God-breathed Scriptures are absolute truth, inerrant, from Genesis to Revelation. Absolute truth. That is attacked today every way possible by theologians, liberals, attacking the inerrancy of the Word of God. It is absolute truth. That's why I spent about 3 weeks trying to communicate the doctrine of inspiration, because it's so important and it's under demonic attack today all over the world. And there are men who stand in pulpits that don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And they're standing up throwing out garbage for the congregations that they teach. And then in verses 8 and 9, we have the dissertation on the three witnesses. Verse 8 starts out, because there are three who give true testimony. The Spirit and the water and the blood. The first witness is Pneuma, God the Holy Spirit. And this is emphasizing the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the writing of Scripture, the God-breathed, inerrant Scriptures. The second witness is Kai Tahudor and the water. The water is personified. Personified as a witness, giving true testimony. And the water includes the baptism of Christ when God the Father spoke from heaven and declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:16-17. And the water also refers to the Word of God, the prophetic Scriptures in the Old Testament concerning the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. In Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7, Micah 5:2, Isaiah 53:5-6. And the third witness is Kai Tahima and the blood. The blood is also personified. A witness giving true testimony. And the blood refers to the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So verse 8. So far, this is all we've exegeted so far. Because there are three who give true testimony. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And at that point, we started to summarize that, and I got point one, and that was all I gave last time, was one. But trust me, there's more than one point. So point one again, since that's where we ended last time, that's where we'll start this evening. The three witnesses are in accordance with the biblical law of verification. And that biblical law of verification requires two or three witnesses. And this is, we just barely got into this and stopped last time. So let's start here. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17:6. The Word of God is very clear on verification. Deuteronomy 17:6 says, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death. Capital punishment for a capital crime. But no one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. All that is at that point is hearsay. And I was at the, I went to just about every Bible conference the colonel gave in California. I went, he had two conferences every year. I went to them, Debbie and I went to them, to every single one. And one time I was there and the colonel had me come up and close in prayer. And of course, I always kind of laugh about this because he said, now I'm going to call on you to close in prayer and make it a long one so that I can get out and take off. Nobody knows where I am and what I'm doing. So make it a long prayer. I said, well. And I thought was, I've heard when you pray in public, keep your prayers short, except when the colonel calls on you to pray, and then make it a long prayer. I said, I'll pray everything I know, but that'll take about 10 seconds. that was a joke, okay. So I closed in prayer, and here comes a gal up. And she says, now, I'm in this church and my pastor is doing, and she started maligning, slandering, running down, judging her pastor. And I said, ma'am, no. I said, first of all this is hearsay. It's just you from your mouth. So that's just hearsay. That doesn't mean a damn thing. But if you can't grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ in your church you're in, then keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut and quietly leave. And don't say one thing bad about that pastor. You say one thing bad about that pastor, you're going to get nailed. Nailed. And you'll get hit double. You'll get hit double. Don't ever malign a pastor. Don't malign or judge anyone. But if you have a problem in that church, then keep your mouth zipped and just leave. But I said, all this is hearsay. I'm not even going to put up with it. I'm not going to listen to it. So, I'm sure that on the way out, she stopped maligning and judging her pastor. She started maligning and judging me instead. See, no problem there. So, 2 to 3 witnesses. And then over in Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness is not enough. One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. And then I had you turn to the Gospel of John, so let's turn over there again. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I love this. I love any time, and it's the Pharisees, the ones who are religious leaders who thought they knew everything about everything. They thought they were great, great believers and going to be in heaven. Hell, they all wound up in hell, except for a couple. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They didn't believe He was the Messiah. They didn't believe He was the Redeemer. They didn't believe He was the Savior. And all they did was malign and slander him. So John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And here we go. Here are the religious leaders. And the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness, Your testimony is not valid. Now they're talking to God. They don't believe he's God, but they're talking to God. And every time Jesus Christ, when he got done, if I was one of those Pharisees, I'd say, I know one thing, I'm not going to challenge him on anything anymore. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right. Because I am not alone. I stand with the Father, God the Father, who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Now just go back a little bit to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And here we have three witnesses. John 5, starting at verse 31. I testify about myself. Jesus Christ is speaking. He's holding Bible class. I testify about myself. My testimony, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor. That's God the Father. And it'll come up in his Bible class. And I know that his testimony about me is valid. Now you have sent to John, this is John the voice. You have sent to John and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. He communicated the grace gospel. And you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one that he sent. You don't believe in me, that I am the Son of God, that I am the Savior, the Redeemer, that I am the Messiah. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me. The ones that you are studying, they all testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me. You refuse to believe in me to have life. And they don't have life. They don't have eternal life. So in John 5, 31 to 40, we have three witnesses. In verses 32 and 37, God the Father. In verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross. And in verses 33 to 35, John the voice. So three witnesses, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross, and John the voice. Point two, the Holy Spirit has the special title, the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of Absolute Truth. John 14, 15 to 17, John 15, 26, John 16, 13 to 14. Very special title, the Spirit of Absolute Truth. Three. So God the Holy Spirit is perfect veracity. He has the attribute of infinite absolute truth. And therefore he gives true testimony, perfect testimony. So God the Holy Spirit is perfect veracity. He has the attribute of infinite absolute truth, and therefore he gives perfect and true testimony. Four, through the inspiration ministry, the writer of the Word of God is absolute truth and gives true testimony. Through his inspiration ministry, the ministry of inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the water of the Word of God, the water of the Word of God is absolute truth and gives true testimony. Five, and the blood of Christ, his salvation work on the cross, is absolute truth and gives true testimony. So, corrected translation. Because there are three who give true testimony, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. That's the thundering diction of the King James. We will straighten it out. It's not very good there. This is the conjunction chi plus the numeral trace with a definite article plus the present active indicative of a me, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative singular neuter of the numeral heis with a definite article. The conjunction chi is a connective chi. He translated and, either and or furthermore. And then we have hoi trace. H-O-I. T-R-E-I-S. Hoi trace. Hoi trace is the three. The three witnesses. And then the to be verb a me. The three witnesses are. And then the preposition ace plus the accusative. Ace plus the accusative. It correctly translated four. The three witnesses are four. And then the numeral heis. H-E-I-S, heis. And heis means one. And with the definite article, it's used as a noun, the one thing. So literally this says, and the three witnesses are for the one thing. This is an idiom. This is a Greek idiom that is correctly translated, and the three witnesses are in agreement. They're all on the same page. They're all saying the same thing. So corrected translation, because there are three who give true testimony that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, his deity, true testimony of the incarnation and virgin birth, true testimony of his true humanity, true testimony of his salvation work on the cross. So this is an idiom. It should be correctly translated, and the three witnesses are in agreement. Because there are three who give true testimony, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the water and the blood, and the three witnesses are in agreement. Now in verse 9, the superiority of the three witnesses. The superiority of the three witnesses. Verse 9 starts out in the King James, if we receive the witness of men. This is the conditional particle AE with the present active indicative of lambano plus the accusative singular of martyria with the definite article plus the genitive plural of anthropos with the definite article. Now we have AE plus the indicative. And for those of you who are consistent and faithful, you know what I'm going to say. AE plus the indicative introduces a first class condition. First class condition. If we accept the testimony of men and first class condition, and we do. If we accept the testimony of men, first class condition, and we do. And then we have the verb lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N, long O, lambano. Lambano, in its active meaning, means to take in your hand or to take hold of or to grasp. But lambano also has a passive usage, which is what we have. And then it means to receive or to accept in here. Means to accept. And then martyria is testimony or witness. M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A. Martyria. Testimony, witness. And then anthropos in the genitive case. Anthropos, man. Genitive plural of men. If we accept, corrected translation, if we accept the witness, the testimony of men and first class condition, and we do. Now, I need to clarify this. One, it is true. And it is a normal function of life to accept what other people say. Now, not what all people say. There are some people, if their lips move, I wouldn't accept anything they say. So it is true, a normal function of life to accept what other people say. Not all people. But some people. Two, in conversation with people, it's very normal to accept some things that they say as true. In conversation with people, it's very normal to accept some things that they say as true. Three, John is saying that it is a true and normal function of life to accept and believe what certain other people say. Not what all people say and not everything that they say. So John is saying that it's true and a normal function of life to accept and believe what certain people, other people say. Four, there's nothing wrong with that. It's totally legitimate and goes on all the time. 5. John is not saying that you should believe everything that everyone says. John is not saying that you should believe everything that everyone says. I mean, I've been... I tell you, this is a... I've never... watching what's going on in this election, if we have degenerated so far that lying's easier than telling the truth. And if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe you. And even though there's case after case, they show this is, here's what you actually said here. Here's what you actually said here. And then all of a sudden, I didn't say all things. What we're witnessing is a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. And the pivot is so small, so small, that what we get is lies after lies after lies after lies. So John is not saying that you should believe everything that everyone says. John is simply giving an illustration here. Namely, that the testimony of God is infinitely superior to the testimony of man. That's what he's saying in this verse. John is saying the testimony of God is infinitely superior to the testimony of man. God is perfect. Man is not perfect. So the corrected translation so far. If we accept the witness, the testimony of men, first class condition, and we do, the witness of God is greater. And this is the nominative singular of martyria with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with a definite article, plus the present active indicative of eimi, plus the comparative of the adjective megas. Hey, martyria, once again, the witness, the testimony, genitive singular of theos, of the God. And the testimony or witness of the God, where is that? Where is God's testimony? In the Word of God. But if you don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, then you don't believe in the Word of God. And that's where we are today. And I'm talking about fundamental churches all over America. They attack and deny the inerrancy of Scripture. And then we have the to be verb eimi is, and then the comparative of the adjective megas. So we have an adjective here. Megas. And you understand, you have the positive, comparative, and the superlative of any adjective. You know, you had English, good, gooder, goodest. You know that. Well, this is megas, this is great. But we don't have the positive. We have the comparative, mezon. M-E-I-Z, long O-N, mezon. And mezon means greater. If we accept the witness, the testimony of men, first class condition, and we do from time to time, the witness or testimony of God in the Word of God is greater. In fact, it's infinitely greater. So, one, God's testimony is infinitely greater than man's testimony. God's testimony is infinitely greater than man's testimony. Two, the Word of God is God's testimony. The Word of God is God's testimony. And I'll say this. I love, there are two pastors in my life I love so, so much. They're both in heaven. Pastor Ron Breckel and the Colonel. And both of them passed on to me and to others that the Bible you have, this is the God-breathed scriptures. There is nothing more important than the Word of God. Nothing more important than Bible doctrine. That thinking is not anywhere. It's so small. The number of people that believe that, the Word of God is more important than anything else. Anything else. God has magnified His Word above His very name. The Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And I've been teaching that and saying that from day one that I've been here. More important than the air that you breathe. The Word of God is God's testimony. So God's testimony is infinitely greater than man's testimony. That's point one. Point two, the Word of God is God's testimony. Three, if we listen to what people say and accept it, and we do from time to time, we do, then we definitely should listen to what God says in His Word and accept it. Believe it. Take it in your heart. It's absolute truth. Four, God is infinitely greater than man. God is infinitely greater than man. Five, God is perfect. Man is imperfect. Six, God is veracity, infinite truth. God is veracity, infinite truth. Seven, God is not a man that He should lie. God levels with us with absolute truth. God levels with us. God tells it exactly like it is. So God is not a man that He should lie, but levels with. God levels with us with absolute truth. Eight, if you are living the spiritual life, which is a supernatural way of life, it demands supernatural power to live it. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God. If you are living the spiritual life and growing up in grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will accept and believe the testimony of God in His Word. then you will accept and believe the testimony of God in His Word. However, point nine, if you're living in Satan's cosmic system, then you will not accept, you will not believe God's testimony in His Word. However, if you are living in Satan's cosmic system, you will not accept, you will not believe God's testimony in His Word. And here's the principle, point 10. Arrogant people are unteachable. Arrogant people are unteachable. And that's why I've said to you many, many times from this pulpit, the Magi went to worship the King, the birth, the incarnation and birth of the eternal Son of God. And they took gifts to go worship the King, who was a baby in His humanity in a manger. When you come to Upland Bible Church, you're coming to worship the King. You're coming to worship the King. And there's only two gifts you need to bring. Positive volition and humility. You bring those gifts of positive volition and humility, then you can worship the King and benefit. But if you're negative and arrogant, you're unteachable, then stay home. You're wasting my time and your time. I beat my brains out here every single day to come in and feed the Lord's sheep. Why? Because I love Him. That's why. Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. Arrogant people are unteachable. No respect for God, no respect for the Word of God, no respect for the pastor teacher who teaches the Word of God. 11, they will listen to anything that is false, but they will not accept the truth, God's testimony in His Word. They will listen to anything that is false, but they will not accept the truth, God's testimony in His Word. So the corrected translation says, if we accept the witness, the testimony of men, first class condition, and we do from time to time, yes we do, the witness, the testimony of God in the Word of God is infinitely greater. And then he says, for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Now, I love this. This is so, so powerful. So powerful, you're going to have to come next week to get the rest of it. Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.